We're going to be thinking about worship this morning. We're looking at worship distinctives. That is, what is distinctive about Christian worship? Now, I'm going to start off by saying something that I hope won't shock you too much. But it's this. Thinking about it, everyone, without exception, everyone living in Bristol is a worshipper. Even those who wouldn't consider themselves to be. Let me explain what I mean by that before you chuck me out of the church. If worship is our response to what we value most, whether or not that's God, then everyone is therefore a worshipper. Because every life has an altar, and every altar has a throne. Each person is living for someone or something. And that person, that thing, that experience that matters to us most, that is worth the most to us, grabbing our time, our attention, our resources, our heart, that is what we truly worship. But that doesn't make it the same as Christian worship. What is distinctive about Christian worship? I remember recently seeing a documentary about Michael Jackson, and part of that documentary, it showed some concert footage of a huge, great big arena at one of his concerts. It just struck me. Thousands of people were in that arena. They were singing songs, and they knew the words to them. The music, they all knew it, and they loved it. And there they were, happy, smiling, excited faces at that concert. They were together. They were of one heart. They were of one mind. They were unified in their focus and their desire. Some had their hands in the air. Some were filled with awe. Some were laughing. Some were crying, declaring their allegiance to Michael. Actually, if I'm honest, strangely, some of those things are like some of the things that we like to see or do in our worship. But we know it's not the same, because, of course, 3 days after Michael Jackson died, his body was still in the tomb. So if it's not necessarily the mannerisms or the emotions that are uniquely Christian, what then is distinctively Christian about worship? Well, right down through history, it's always been a temptation, and I don't think this has changed, to worship created things rather than the Creator. It's there, actually, written thousands of years ago in the Ten Commandments. They start off in Exodus 20, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or on the waters below. You shall not bow down and worship them. It's always been a temptation, which is why that's how the Ten Commandments start, to worship created things rather than the Creator. Because, of course, the truth is that I believe God has put in us all, in every human being, the desire and the ability to worship and to express ourselves in that worship intellectually, emotionally, musically, physically, individually, corporately, completely. It's there. But the sad fact is that most people are wasting their God-given ability to worship by focusing it on the wrong thing. You see, the first thing that is distinctive about Christian worship is who we're worshipping. That's distinctive. Some people give sports personalities and teams an almost godlike status, don't they? Yet, take a close look at their lives of these sports heroes, and you can see that they're not actually worth worshipping. Like footballers who are sometimes called role models, when we see that what their lives are really like off and sometimes even on the pitch. In fact, we find the media, of all people, telling us that they're not fit to be role models for the young, don't we? See, the truth is that we were made by God to worship God and to worship Him alone. And the strange thing is, or perhaps the obvious thing is, that as we begin to worship Him, we start to become like Him. It's true, isn't it, that we tend to eventually look a bit like and sound a bit like and act a bit like those who we worship? So if we need a role model, my friends, let it be Jesus. Let it be God. Because He's worth being like. And we were created in His likeness to become like Him more and more. So there are people all around Bristol, all around the world, who are wasting their worship on people and things that actually aren't worth worshipping. And if you don't believe me, then all you have to do is to use my worship comparer. Just punch their names into Bob's worship comparer and see if it fits. Have you ever tried my worship comparer? Can we put the comparer on the screen, please? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have His fullness dwell in Him and through Him. Do you get where this is all pointing? To reconcile Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Bob's worship comparer, all you do is you substitute the other things that you're tempted to worship for the he's and the hymns and see how you do. So let's give it a go, shall we? Michael Jackson. Michael is the image of the invisible. Let's try something else, shall we? The minister of Alma Church. For by him all things were created. What else could we put there? Well, you could put you, couldn't you? Isn't that the favourite thing that people really worship? Look after number one. Put yourself in there. I'm the image of the invisible God. By me all things were made. In me all things hold together. It just doesn't fit, does it? Whoever or whatever you put in there instead of Jesus, it just doesn't fit. And you don't need a degree in theology. In fact, it probably helps if you haven't. To work that out. It doesn't fit. Because Jesus is the only one worth worshipping. There's no substitute for worshipping the living God. Now, when we stop to think about it like that, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? But I'd suggest to you this, that even though For us Christians, it's obvious. Can I say that it's still a choice? Now, you might think that's a potty thing to say. But I think, as Christians, it is so easy to lose him as the focus of our worship. Which is why the second thing that I think is distinctive about Christian worship is that it must be a daily decision. It's got to be a daily decision. Why does our worship need to be a daily decision? Well, because Satan has declared war on worship. The enemy has declared war on worship. Have you noticed the language used in the last of the temptations that Jesus faced when, after his baptism, he was taken out into the wilderness? Let me remind you. Satan says to Jesus, "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." Satan has declared war on worship. It's there in black and white. And Jesus said to him, "Get away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the truth is this, that every day you and I are going to enter into a battlefield where we're going to face temptation in many different guises to take the focus of our worship off of the Creator and to shift it onto created things. And the challenge for you and me is this. The challenge is for us to make God the magnetic north of our worship. To make God the magnetic north of our worship. And to be continually then checking our bearings. How can we check our bearings regularly regarding our worship? That's very easy too. All we need to do, if you want to check your worshipometer, if you want to check it, all you need to do is to follow the trail of your lives. We follow the trail of our lives. What I mean by the trail of our lives is have a look at our lives and our affection and our time and our energy, our thoughts, our passion, our money, our allegiance. Do it over the last week. And at the end of the trail of your life, you will find a throne. And whoever and whatever is on that throne, my friends, is who you've been worshipping. Now, I'm not saying that to make anyone feel guilty, but to be honest, and to say that probably, most of us have struggled with the focus of our worship over the last 7 days. I certainly have, myself. And it starts off with a decision, which I believe that we've got to remake daily. And it's this: who am I going to worship today? Who or what am I going to worship today? And that trail will leave a result of that decision. But as we worship and choose to worship the living God daily, we'll actually find that our worship becomes a developing spiritual dimension. And that's my final point. What is distinctive about Christian worship? Firstly, the focus of that worship. Jesus. Secondly, that it is a daily decision. And actually, there's a battlefield going on. But we've got to keep our focus. And lastly, that Christian worship is a developing spiritual dimension. Our worship life is not supposed to be static. For some people, worship is reduced to what we do in a church on a Sunday. That's worship. That's what it is. And many people prefer to do the same thing week by week, and don't want it to change in any way whatsoever. Some draw strength and security from that, that it doesn't change, and the pattern's always there. Yet alongside that, it also seems true to me that if worship of God stems from a living relationship with Him, then relationships develop and deepen over the passing of years. Therefore, it wouldn't be unexpected for our worship of God to be on the move, to be developing and changing and deepening and growing. Because the more we know of God, the deeper our worship of Him can go. So it should be okay, it's probably not, but it should be okay for us to ask each other, how is your worship developing? We ought to be able to ask that of each other. But you see, if you come up to me and say, okay, Bob, how's your worship developing? There's something in me that says, oh, well, because I'm the minister, I ought to give a decent answer to this. Because if they think that my worship is a bit rubbish, then that's just not going to look very good, and then they're not going to want me to be a minister anymore. So I better think of something that's so spiritual I haven't even thought of it. You know, how's your worship developing, Bob? Well, you know, I just spent some time floating in the heavenly planes of ethereal worship. How's yours? That would be kind of a sidestep, wouldn't it? But, you know, if you asked me how my worship had developed over the last 6 weeks, I would say to you, I'm afraid it's been a bit flat. It's been a bit rubbish. I'm not where I'd like to be in my worship of God. See, and it should be okay for me to say that, because then you should say, you who asked me should say, I'm sorry to hear that, Bob. Can I pray for you that God will refresh your worship? That's how it should go. So I shouldn't be embarrassed to say how it really is, and you shouldn't be embarrassed to ask. But then I shouldn't feel the need to try and con you with some pseudo-spirituality that makes me look good. You know, we need to be real people, real with each other, and real before God. So a bit later on, when some people might be over there to pray for people who are struggling in their worship, I'm going to go over there not to do praying for you, but I want someone to pray for me. Because I'm going on holiday on Wednesday, and I'd like, when I'm sitting in my caravan in France with my family, I'd like to have a fresh experience of worship. I really would. So I'd be grateful if someone could make the time to pray for me during the ministry time, because I need that. And I want that, because I don't want my worship to be static. I want to be moving and developing and growing in my worship. It's the case that we should be people who spur each other on to climb higher, to stand taller, to discover more of God. Because you see, worshipping of God is not a human activity, it's a divine activity. It's empowered by the Spirit of God. Because as the psalmist writes, God inhabits the praises of His people. Let me just say that again. God inhabits the praises of His people. So actually, when we worship God, what we're doing is we're coming into the presence of God, and God is actually living in and through our praises. It's a supernatural activity. You know, we're miles away from the Michael Jackson Stadium now. God is doing something in and through and with us when we worship. That is completely different. That's a distinctive thing about worshiping God. He Himself is involved in it. Because when we first believed, we're told that our body became a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is, God actually took up residence in us. So you see, when we come to worship, we're not caught up in the spirit of the occasion. No, we're caught up in the spirit of God. That's the difference. And in John's Gospel, Jesus has a conversation with a woman at the well, and he says this: a time is coming and has come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers that God seeks. And let me tell you, God is looking for worshippers this morning. True spiritual worshippers. Men and women whose worship is distinctive. It's God-focused, it's spirit-empowered, it's daily, and it's constantly developing. Because to worship God is a divine activity unlike no other. It is the ultimate expression of what it means to be truly human, and the ultimate fulfillment of our purpose and our potential. And it's to this, my friends, this high thing, that you and I have been called to, first and foremost. And I believe that the Lord is calling us this morning to get a higher view of what worship is all about, to refresh and to renew our vision of what worship is and what it can be like. And I want to urge you this morning, don't settle for less than God offers. So will you forgive me for asking, how has your worship been developing recently? I've told you how mine has, or hasn't. On the evidence of your life's priorities and choices, is worshipping Jesus truly your magnetic north? Does your worship feel like a divine, spirit-enabled activity, or is it feeling at the moment a bit like a human one? Don't settle for that. Don't settle for any less than God has for you in your worship. I'm just going to pray in a second, and I'm going to leave it there. And then I'm going to ask the ministry team, that's folk who are happy to pray with other people, if they'd go and be over there in that corner. Can you not play with the creche toys when you go over there? But if you could be ready, because then we're going to go back into some worshipping of God in song. So if musicians, you could take your stations. Worship team, come out there. And if you would like someone to pray with you, if your worship is tired and it's jaded and your focus has slipped off God and you need God just to come and renew your worship, then go over there and let somebody pray for you. It's not an embarrassment or a belittling thing to be prayed for. I want that. It's actually something that is very important. And it's very precious. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that worship is meant to be a taste of heaven on earth. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we say, Lord, renew our vision, refresh our vision for worship and what that really is. And what that can be like. Lord, and if we've just got stuck in the mud in our worship, if we've, our worship's become tired or jaded or mundane, if the truth is that according to the trails of our lives, really, you haven't been our magnetic north, Lord, we pray that you would minister to us this morning, that may change from this day forward. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just respond to what God's been saying to us through Bob. And if you want to sing, do sing. If you want to you know, just sit and listen to the music, then do that. And please, if people want to get prayer, then do that.